When we walk by the Spirit in the context of faith, one of the fruits of that will be love. Now, the world has a view of what love is, and their view is all messed up because love is basically an emotion or whatever it is. But God's view of love is different. And the way we understand God's view of love is to see what He did through His Son.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Greg, give us a preview of what we'll see today.
Dave, today we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 13, and we're going to see how we can stand firm in the midst of suffering.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And after you have suffered for a little while. I like that little while, right? We don't like to suffer, do we? Suffer for a little while. A lot of eternity, it's short. For a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Personally, God's going to do that. Praise the Lord. And you know what He does? He does it through His Word. We see it in our passage. He sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage them as to the faith. You see, Paul had a vested interest in these Thessalonians' faith. He was concerned greatly that the trials would have affected them emotionally, that they would have been tempted by Satan and their work would be in vain. So how can we stand firm in the midst of suffering? As we've seen, we need to know and remember that God uses His Word through His people to strengthen and encourage us as to the faith. Because there are dangers to our faith in Jesus Christ. Yet folks, understanding this is not enough. Knowing that God uses His Word to strengthen and encourage us, knowing there's dangers is not enough. As we're going to see, we must also respond in faith to the Word that we hear. We must receive the Word by those sent and respond in faith. Look at verse 6, and now we're starting our passage here. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us and longing to see us just as we also long to see you. But now we have a contrast from what we've seen earlier. In contrast to the dangers and Paul's concern having sent Timothy to find out about their faith, but now in contrast, we've heard the report. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news. So then Paul had sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage them as to their faith and to find out how they're doing. And he's come back now and he has brought good news. It's the same word we see that's translated gospel. It's good news. And what's the good news? First of all, he has brought good news of what? Your faith. That's what it's about. It's about your faith in Jesus Christ. It's about, are you trusting Jesus in the midst of those difficulties? Are you believing what He has said? Are you personally relying on Him and not on yourself? Are you trusting in Him rather than leaning on your own understanding? Are you fixing your eyes on Jesus? Good news of your faith. Their faith was in Jesus. They were saved by faith in Jesus and they walked by faith in Jesus. It's all about trusting Jesus. There's that wonderful song, Trusting Jesus. And folks, Paul was concerned that they might have been carried away emotionally by their trials, disturbed by their afflictions. He was concerned that the tempter might have tempted them and their labor would be in vain, but he has received good news. And folks, if you care about someone who's a believer and you are following the Lord, faith is everything. Are they trusting Christ in this trial? Are they relying on Christ in this trial? Are they believing His promises in spite of what they see? You want to hear good news, that they are. And Paul heard good news of their faith. It's everything. And notice what he says. It's not only their faith, but he says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love. Good news. If you're concerned about someone who is in a trial, who's a true believer, It is good news to hear they're trusting Jesus. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's hard, but they're trusting Jesus. You hear the truth, you go, wow, praise the Lord. Good news. As opposed to bad news, waffling all over the place, you know, worried, fearful, whatever it might be, versus trusting Jesus. But as we've seen throughout Scripture, and we'll see here today, that true faith, genuine faith, will produce something. And he says, good news, not simply of your faith, but your faith and love. You see, when Christ is manifest in us through faith, we're going to love one another. You see, it's a lot of self-love when we're all worried and fearful about everything because everyone has to attend to us rather than us trusting Jesus and then being used by him to encourage others in the context of love. You see, when we're trusting Jesus, we're going to love one another. And we love because he first loved us. You see, when we came to genuine faith in Jesus Christ, if you haven't come to faith, you don't know what I'm talking about. You may understand the words, but you do not know. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, he produces a love in us for him and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's an evidence of a changed life. Look later on in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. The apostle Paul will say something about that. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, now as to the love of the brethren, phileo love, he's going to talk about that, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to agape, to love one another. It's innate to your relationship with the living God. You see, when we walk by the Spirit in the context of faith, one of the fruits of that will be love. Now, the world has a view of what love is, and their view is all messed up because love is basically, you know, an emotion or whatever it is. But God's view of love is different. And the way we understand God's view of love is to see what he did through his son. You see, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to have a special love for the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and your love which you have for all the saints. Paul will share this so many times. He doesn't just say, I thank God for your said faith. I thank God for your faith that is working, and it is in the context of loving the body of Christ. You know, we've been saved unto a sincere love of the brethren. Did you know that? You were saved unto a love of the body of Christ. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. You see, and it's when faith is gone, love is gone. So if you don't know Jesus, you don't have love. But as believers, when our faith is wavering, our love will waver too, because we become self-centered, self-focused. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For, he explains, for you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding word of God. We've been saved and born again unto a new disposition. We now can manifest the character of God, which is love, to him and one another. If we abide in Christ. And if you look at the book of John and then 1 John, we see the theme of the book is love for one another. We see that as evidenced by obedience to the word of God. Actually, let's turn it to 1 John. I want to share a couple passages. The theme of 1 John is that if we are truly saved, we're going to be loving. We're going to be loving one another. But what love is from God's perspective may be quite different than what you think love is. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. The one who says, I have come to know him, that's speaking, I know Jesus, and does not keep his commandments, that's not the Ten Commandments, that's not namas, the law, he doesn't keep his commands, that's a good translation, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has been truly completed or perfected or brought to its end. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same manner as he walked. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. And the old commandment is the word which you have heard. Now, he's going to talk about that even a little later. Look at chapter 3, verse 10. By this, the children of God, and this is 1 John, and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I can't read the whole book, but go down to verse 16 of the same chapter. We know love by this. Here's love. You want to know what love is? That he laid down his life for us. You see, Jesus Christ loved us so much that he obeyed the Father and gave himself for us. He says, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Can't do that when you're not trusting Jesus, by the way. When you're worried about and fearful about everything that's happening, you cannot do that. And so he says here, but whoever has the world's goods and beholds a brother in need and closes his heart against him, how can the love of God be in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but with deed and truth. Then go down a little farther, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he commanded us. And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit he has given us. And then one more passage we'll look at in a minute. Go up to chapter 4, verse 20. Here John explains what real love looks like. If someone says, now here's the point. Some people say they love God. Some people say they have faith, but it's not genuine, as we'll see. Notice what he says here. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment we have in him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. And then he's going to explain what this looks like, what real love for one another looks like. This is chapter 5 of 1 John. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child. Now, that's not Jesus here in the context we're going to see in a moment. It's his children. Loves the child born of him. Notice what he says. By this we know that we love the children of God. You want to know if you love other believers? Here you go. Love the children of God. He says here, when we love God and what? Observe his commands or commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. As we're going to see, love for one another can only come from God, and God is relayed in his commands, his perfect love for us. His commands reveal his love for us and how we should love one another. Very clearly, when we obey the Lord in regards to one another, and as we'll see, even the world, we will love them. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. What did Paul say when he was finishing about speaking about serving and spiritual gifts in Romans 12? Let love be without hypocrisy. Let it not be a fake mask, right? And folks, you'll remember that these Thessalonians, that their faith worked and their love toiled. Back in chapter 1, Paul praises God for their labor of love. Their love toiled. And so now, the Apostle Paul says, Timothy's come back. Back to our passage, 1 Thessalonians 3. Timothy's come back, and we have received good news of your faith, and the faith is in Jesus, and your love. And your love. Good news. Good news. And again, how wonderful is that? We're concerned about a brother or sister going through difficulty. It's genuine, it's hard, it's tough. And you get good news. They're trusting Jesus. And that trust is manifest in a self-sacrifice by obeying God in relationship to one another. Wow, that's wonderful. So let me ask you this. If Paul were to send Timothy to check up on you, coming to your house today, you're all in your houses, so coming over to check up on you, to see how you are doing in the faith, what would his report be? Would his report be good news that you are trusting Jesus and your love for the body is clearly manifest? Would it be good news? If someone was to look at your life, would they see a working faith and love's toil? A genuine love for the body of Christ manifest in obedience to the word in relationship to one another in the body of Christ? Now, if your love is conditional, serving in the conditions based on what you get out of it, that's not love at all. That's self-love. We've seen that here in this church over the years. People who serve based on their own desires, they want it their way. And if it doesn't work out their way, the way they want to do it, that's not love. That's self-love. Then they are on their way somewhere else. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. Sadly, I've seen so amazingly people get upset over such little things because their laboring is not out of love, it's out of self-love. But these Thessalonians are loving one another. This is a good report. And notice this, it's very important. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought good news of your faith and your love, and notice this, and this is important to Paul, by the way, and that you always think kindly of us. This is important. God put this in his word. Longing to see us just as we also long to see you. And you say, why is that so important, Greg? It's crucial. Don't forget, Satan tempts believers through wicked men and deceived brethren to see those who bring the word wrongly. He tempts them not to think kindly of them. He tempts them not to long to see them. He brings division. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, as I shared earlier in all of chapter 2, is defending himself in the manner in which he came, which implies there were those who were slandering him and trying to cause these Thessalonians to have a wrong view. And he was concerned. Is their view, has it been distorted by Satan? But no, good news. They didn't succumb to those temptations. They didn't give Satan a place. That you always think kindly of us and are longing to see us just as we long to see you. Wow, that is good, good news. Isn't it good news, again, if you're ministering to somebody who's going through a trial and you're sharing the word of God with them and their attitude towards you is good? They want to hear you. They want to hear what you want to say. They think kindly of you in the Lord. They want to hear the truth. It's good news. So when they shut down and they start seeing you wrongly because Satan's got to them, then that's bad news. But this is good news here. Now, within that, you may or may not understand how important this is for those being shepherded, how your view towards me and the shepherds is important. It is important that you think kindly of me, that you have a right view of me. That is really important. Because if you have a wrong view of me, you will not hear the word of God that I bring forth. And we've seen that here over and over again. It's important. And I've been concerned over the years of influences of people who would turn people's hearts away towards me, particularly, that they would not think kindly of me. And you'd see it. You'd see it in their actions. And sure enough, those attitudes would lead to presumption, a lack of respect, and they would eventually leave the church. You see that. And at least the work in that moment was in vain. I know this all too well. But praise the Lord. Like we see here, and I've seen also, there's good news. There's good news. And guess what? Where there is good news, there is joy and praise of God too. When you get good news, it's not just simply, wow, I'm so happy about this. There is praise and thankfulness to God. Notice it's important, and God wants us to know this because it's in his word. It's important that God wants us to see that he uses our response to the word spoken to us to bless those who bring it to you, which brings glory to him. Notice he says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and your love, this is great. Oh boy, it's great. And that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we long to see you. Oh, wonderful. And now he's going to explain. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and afflictions, we were comforted about you through your faith. That's what comforted Paul. Paul was so concerned for them. He was concerned, and in the midst of his distress and afflictions for following Christ, he was comforted. Now, the distress and affliction certainly might be the persecution that he was experiencing. But I believe because it's connected to the idea of being comforted, it was certainly about them. He was distressed about them. Where were they at? Had Satan got to them? Satan had thwarted Paul from seeing them. He wanted to see them, but he was thwarted. But in all the distress and affliction, we were comforted about you. You see, the Apostle Paul went through a lot of suffering, but his major concern usually was about where believers were at with Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. He went through a lot of suffering. 2 Corinthians 11. But his major concern was about where people are at in their walk with Jesus. Now, in addressing the false apostles in Corinth, he has to, quote unquote, brag. And he's not bragging, but he has to, in a sense, defend himself in light of them because of their influence on the Corinthians. And he says here in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, speaking of the false apostles, are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and night I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers and dangers from robbers and dangers from countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers from false brethren. I have been labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and exposure. Hey, he went through a lot. He wasn't just having all his stuff in his head. He wasn't all distressed because of what he thought might happen in his life. This really happened to him. He went through distresses and afflictions, but he seems to be more concerned about something. Look at here. He says, apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without me being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? If I have to boast, I'll boast with what pertains to my weaknesses. The Apostle Paul was comforted in the midst of all his afflictions, comforted by the report of their faith and love. Folks, your walk with Christ affects those around you, and it affects those the most who are following Jesus because they are concerned for where you are at with Jesus. If they're walking with Jesus, then they have a genuine love for you and they are concerned. Your walk with Christ affects others. And here, these Thessalonians, by their trust in Christ and their love for one another and their desire to see Paul through that, Paul was comforted. He needed encouragement and he was encouraged. And believe it, you can be discouraged when you see people that are, you're not sure where they're at with Christ. You're wondering, are they trusting him or not? It's really hard. Are they trusting him? But yet how encouraging it is to hear a good report. A good report. They're trusting, they're believing his promises, they're loving one another. And notice, the Apostle Paul, back in 1 Thessalonians 3, he was caught up in the things of Christ. He was caught up in the things of Christ. Look at verse 8. For, or literally because is the word you could put there, because now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. Now, he says, if you stand firm, the if is with a indicative, which means it's a first class condition. What does that mean? It means if and you are. Now we really live, or literally could translate it, we are living, ongoing. We experience true, genuine life because you're standing firm in the Lord.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Greg's message today is from his series in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, what's the application for us?
Well, Dave, as we've seen, godly shepherds who teach and preach the Word of God, who point you to Jesus, certainly as the Apostle Paul did, those shepherds are greatly encouraged when we follow the Lord, when we obey His Word, when we walk in a manner worthy. And so my question is, are your shepherds encouraged or discouraged?
Well, encourage them by following Jesus wholeheartedly and obeying his word, that he might be greatly glorified and your shepherds will be greatly blessed.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.